Blog Talk Radio.
Real sports guy. You're all right now. It's the Renegade. People's Radio. It's RSG up in your headphones. Allow me to introduce
the illustrious Queen Anne. Marcus the Game Changer. The Seventh Jackson. D. Will. The Ill Executive. He's like Suge Knight without the anger management issues. Phil T, the sports PhD. This dude is coming at you from all angles. He's got all the bases covered. There's not a whole lot about sports this brother don't know.
Can you dig it, sucker?
Featuring Ray, Justin Page, Eric Hamilton.
RSG fam is like, woo!
Now, I blame it on Nintendo.
It's definitely a gin party around here. Definitely a gin party.
Don't bring any Kool-Aid.
It don't get no better than this, baby. I want winners.
You guys act like it. Pick it up a little bit. Okay? Get your chin up. Smile. Smile. Anybody can be peace.
Don't get no more realer.
Welcome to the Real Sports Guys, where real guys talk real sports, RSG Renegade Radio. This is a special NCAA preview edition. Man, it's basketball Christmas. We got a special show for you guys tonight. Hit you off with an hour of good college basketball talk. Before we get into everything, before we get into the proceedings this evening, I got to bring in the rest of the crew. So with no further ado, let me go ahead and introduce my man, Suge Knight around these parts, D. Wills. Holla at the people.
What's up, Game Changer? I think I'm excited tonight. You know, we're going to have a good evening. You know, I'm coming off winning the RSG Turning Challenge last year. You know, folks have to come at us, and they got to figure out how to beat all the RSG faithful. I was the last man standing trying to hold everybody off. We still give out the prizes, but, you know, you got to come on and come and get some tonight. Tomorrow, the weekend, I'm going to try and do my back-to-back. That's what I'm doing, the back-to-back.
I'm going to do my best to make sure that don't happen. So just letting you know off top. So we have a special guest with us tonight, Tony Cartagena is going to be joining us this evening. Tony is an intern at a student at the UW. He is going to be interning with the show and joining us in that capacity. He also has done some work at the UW covering. He just got done covering the Big Ten tournament. So Tony's going to kind of be our go-to guy with Big Ten Talk this evening. I want to bring Tony in. Tony, glad to have you on the show. Welcome.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, glad to have you here. You know, we're bringing you in. We like to put cats on and allow this platform to be a your introduction to the world, man. So, again, welcome. Make sure you bring it. As the intro says, this is a gym party. Don't bring no Kool-Aid. and we're going to have a good time.
Oh, definitely. So I'm ready to bring it.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into it. This portion of the show is known as the intro to let them know. We'll give you a quick rundown of the things we hope to cover. Again, we keep it fast and loose around here, so we may get to these things, and we may not. But we're going to hold you down for the next hour regardless. We're talking all things NCAA tournament. First thing we're going to get into is just a big picture, just putting this tournament into context, into some historical context, talking about how we feel about it in comparison to recent tournaments, star power, overall predictability of this tournament, our ability, you know, just the lack of a favorite, and how that affects how we conceptualize this tournament. All those things we're going to talk about in our first segment. We'll also talk about region strength, which regions are the strongest. We're going to give you some tips to get your bracket tight, get your bracket right, and chase that money. We're going to talk about bracket busters. You know, those three seeds or higher
that are going to break your heart, the heartbreakers. All right, these are those teams that are going to put a damper on your hopes of getting to the cash. All right, but then we also going to give you some money makers, those five seeds and lower who are going to really put you in a position to lock up some of that money and do that money clutch, hold the money up in the air, money hanging out of both sides of your hand. That's what I'm talking about. That's the money clutch.
All right, then we're going to talk about some matchups that we really want to see happen as we progress through our brackets, some matchups that we're really excited to see. We're going to take you through each of our brackets. So we're going to really take you behind the curtain. This is exclusive material when you get the Game Changer and D-Wills actually going through their bracket before the game starts. Because, you know, we always on the lookout for biters. All right? We don't want people biting our style. You know, this is like old school hip-hop, man. No biting allowed. Okay, we're going to give you tips. But don't go biting my sleepers and don't go biting my Final Four. All right? If I see anybody in the RSG bracket with my Final Four, we're going to have a problem. We might have to take that one outside. You did. So we're going to get into our Final Four, our last two standing, our champion. And then we're also going to talk about our most outstanding player of the tournament, the player that we predict to bring it for six games. Then we're going to hit you over the last word where we recap how we feel about everything that was said tonight on the show. So with no further ado, let's get into it. Now, first, fellas, we want to talk about just this tournament as a tournament, this field. How do we feel about it? What does it mean? What is it? How do we put this into a historical context? All right? So we're talking about this tournament, and I want to pitch it to my man D. Wills first. When you look at this tournament and you start to think about it in a historical context, how do you start to conceptualize it?
You know, when I look at this tournament, there are some stars, but there aren't what I would feel are what I would call the mega star in this tournament. But there are a lot of great players, you know, some 2As in it. And there are enough 2As spread around that it's going to make for a good tournament. And so, you know, the talent, you know, there's a line of demarcation, right? You always have the upsets. But the talent between the players on the seeds historically that were likely, let's say, six seed and up, and once you go down, there was always that different level of talent. But I think when you look across 1 to even 12 seed, when you think about some of the 12 seeds that they got, there's not much different with the talent, so we can make up for great games. And I think that's what's going to make this tournament, I think, exciting, because you're not going to have a lot of people who are intimidated in a way with some of these matchups. And so on the surface, there might be like upsets, but there are things that you could probably foresee in the future. So I think that's what's going to make this tournament great. It might not come with all the star power, but it's going to come with – it's going to have some competitiveness because there's not much difference. Because everybody has these flaws, the separation isn't so great. And so I'm excited to see what kind of upsets will come out of that.
Yeah, I think this is a tournament that's going to provide us with a lot of upsets. As you said, the parity's in full effect. This is a tournament that is loaded with parity. There isn't a surefire juggernaut that, you know, teams are going to be looking out for. The 16 seeds are going to look across the court against these one seeds and feel like they got a shot. And that's not always the case. Usually there's some games where you know it's just going to get out of hand. And really, you don't know what's going to happen, man. All of these one seeds, all of the two seeds, all of the three seeds have had stretches during the season where they played poor basketball. They've had stretches where they've all played really well, and they've had some stretches where they've been very vulnerable. So, you know, there's no surefire, and I think that's what's going to color this. This may be one of those tournaments where you see a mid-major rise up and find their way into the Final Four, like you did a couple years ago with VCU, like you did with George Mason before that. You know, Butler getting there twice. This may be another one of those tournaments where one of those mid-majors, who's the lower seed, really sneaks up and gets in there because there isn't very much difference between, you know, a 3 and a 7 seed in a lot of cases. So, Tony, how do you feel about this particular tournament overall, as an overall bracket?
I think this bracket, apart from years past, is really it's Christmas for the fans of college basketball, because there's no way you can accurately predict any of these games. If you look at college basketball like through the season, how many number one seeds were upset? How many times you had a new number one and then they would lose that week or the next game? I mean, just this bracket in general, if you look through it, I mean, it's basically a coin flip who you're going to pick to advance. And it's exciting. As a fan of the game, as someone who covers the game, this is going to be the most exciting tournament that I can remember in years past. Last year, it was Kentucky from day one. If you didn't bet on Kentucky and pick Kentucky in your bracket last year, you wasted your money. But this year, I mean, you got 3 and 4 seeds that have a legit chance to make some noise, and then you have 12 seeds that might upset the 5 in the first round. It's going to be exciting.
Yeah, and then there are some matchups where you have, you know, potentially a 4 or a 5 who you can see knocking off one of the 1 seeds. So it's going to be. I agree with you. I think it's going to be a very entertaining tournament for a fan. And if you're a fan, you couldn't ask for more because it's so unpredictable. And that's really where the joy of March Madness comes out, is with the unpredictability and things happening that you didn't see happening, teams advancing that you weren't expecting to advance, and really trying to pick some of those upsets. When we think about tournaments in the past, there were moments or players who really stood out. The stars last year, Anthony Davis. You know, the year Syracuse won with Carmelo, when Oden and Conley led Ohio State to the championship game. Derrick Rose leading Memphis to the championship game. There have always been some stars who have really come out during the tournament. D. Wills, who do you see as a potential star within this tournament, and where does the star power of this tournament rank amongst other tournaments in the past?
I think, like I said, I don't know if you have that. I think you have some players who are going to be NBA players that are going to make noise, but in terms of their marketing coming into this tournament, I don't think they bring the level of star power that of a Davis or whatever, but you got a lot of stars. You got some cats who gonna make noise. You know, the guy we talked about a little bit last night, I think, is prime for something like this, as Phil T called him, the Wally Zerbiak of his McDermott, because this is his last run. I think the emotional thing with, you know, his father, coach, you know, all those different things, I think he gonna put on a show. And he's the kind of guy who can put up numbers that he can put a team on his back, and he's going to be hard to match up with. And so he's someone that I think is going to bring some noise. I thought about this a little bit more, and this is a guy who's been much maligned down the stretch. But I told you there are certain teams that are just tournament teams, and they just play well in the tournament. And I think someone like a Trey Burke, who down the stretch, you know, his team, he didn't really do the kind of things to lead, knows that he's going to have to show up on this. He got to redeem in a way. And I think I thought about this more, but last night I was like, I wasn't even on the Michigan bandwagon. But I think there are certain teams that are tournament teams and tournament players, and the one thing he has done in tournaments is come on the light. He comes when the light come on, and he plays. And he'd be an interesting guy that I think in a tournament he might put three or four games, five games together that might get that ride his team in a guard-oriented format.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm not sold on Trey Burns as one of those guys. When I start to look at it, I'm looking at guys like a guy like Cody Zeller, who has had the billing all season, but kind of has flown under the radar. He's been all right. Or Oladipo. It remains to see whether Trey Burns can do that for me. I'm real light on Michigan. This cool Michigan cast, man. I think they're gonna break some people's hearts. We'll get into that when we get into that.
We'll
talk about Big Blue. Tony, how do you feel about the star power of this tournament?
I feel like it's a pretty good balance of star power. I mean, you got your potential number one overall NBA draft pick isn't even in this year's tournament. And then Kansas has Malcolm Moore, who is a top five projected pick. Indiana has Cody Zeller, top five projected pick, as well as Oladipo. So I feel like you have your teams. Like your number one seeds have their superstar player, but if you go through the list, I mean, you can look at the 12 seed Cal Bears. They have the Pac-12 Player of the Year and a projected first round NBA draft pick in Allen Crabbe on that list, and they're the 12 seed. It's split overall. You got another 12 seed Marshall Henderson out of Ole Miss. He's playing against Wisconsin on Friday, and I mean that star power. He might not be a huge name, but when it comes to putting up numbers, he's going to produce on the court. So there's not, you're right, there's not your Kemba Walker, there's not your Anthony Davis, but I feel like individual talent across the board is pretty even throughout the teams.
Yeah. So we'll see how this develops and how this plays into people, how people view this tournament. But we all know when there aren't stars and when there aren't those dominant players, usually chaos ensues. You know, the tournament turns into a Harlem Shake video real fast, and everything goes nuts right before our eyes. So I'm actually happy that there aren't kind of known name guys going into this tournament, because it's going to allow the tournament to kind of create some stars, and guys are going to kind of get recognition based upon how they perform over the next 3-4 weeks for those teams that survive in advance. As we continue this conversation, we want to start to talk about strong regions. Some of those the regions that we feel like, how do we feel about the overall strength? What's the strongest region in your mind and the weakest region? I'm going to have Tony start us off with this. Tony, what's the strongest region in the bracket in your opinion? Take us through each region and then give us your weakest region. So which region do you feel is the strongest? Which one do you feel is the weakest?
My list is for the strongest region. I'm going to go with the Midwest. They got the number one overall in Louisville, Big East tournament champions, Peyton Siva, great point guard. And then the two seed is Duke. Duke, borderline, argued they should have been a number one seed, in my opinion. And they got Kelly back, who they're 18-1 with. So you got those two teams are pretty dominant, two potential number one seeds overall in the same region. But then you got the three in that region. Michigan State ran through the Big Ten this year. They competed with every team in the Big Ten. They played Indiana. They played Michigan. They blew out Wisconsin. That's a pretty strong number three. So if you're coming out of the Midwest, you have to go through some pretty top tier talents. And then for my weakest division, I'm going to go right below them with the West, with Gonzaga being the number one in that region. I feel like this region's kind of a toss-up. You got Gonzaga and Notre Dame, Ohio State, but then you also got Wisconsin in there, too, as a five seed. It's a lot of good competition amongst each other, but I don't think the teams are necessarily that good. I don't think Gonzaga, honestly, questionable if they should have been a one seed over a Duke, over a Miami, and then Wisconsin, I know I saw the president's bracket this morning. He picked them to go to the Elite Eight. But if Wisconsin is a team that's going to the Elite Eight out of your bracket, you got a pretty questionable region in that regard.
I like that analysis, baby. I like that analysis.
This is why we bring him on. He's a young, real sports guy. Yes, this. We try to do it. We bring the young ones in. I love it.
Ooh. Yeah. And I'll give you my strongest reason. I'm looking at the South, and I really like the South. When you talk about Kansas as a number one, I think Kansas has been solid all season. They haven't had that stretch where they really kind of dominated, but they have just kind of been chugging along. And outside of a couple of bad losses early in the month of February or late, kind of in the middle of February, they've been a really consistent squad. So you have them as a one seed, and then you have North Carolina and Villanova, two teams with one team with a great coach and one team with a lot of talent. You can guess which one is which. North Carolina, of course, has a ton of talent. Do they have the usual caliber of talent that North Carolina usually gets? No. And that's a whole other conversation as far as where North Carolina is as a program. I think as a program, North Carolina is a squad that, you know, they're trending downward, in my opinion. When you talk about recruits and where recruits are going, North Carolina isn't a destination spot for a lot of cats anymore. They get decent guys. They don't get those top five recruits as much as they used to in the past. And, you know, that can be attributed to, you know, the guy running the show, who I'm not a big fan of, Roy Williams. I'm just not a fan of his work. That's just how it is. But they do have a lot of talent on that team, and they could beat a lot of teams on any given night. They also can get beat by a lot of teams on any given night. So they kind of have that Jekyll and Hyde thing going on. Villanova's a tough squad. Jay Wright, good coach. You know, good coach, bad coach. Jay Wright's a good coach. He can prepare his team for any challenge. He can get his guys ready. They're going to be well prepared, and they're going to play a tough brand of basketball. They're going to get after you on defense, and they're going to put pressure on your offense with the bounce. On offense, they're going to put pressure on you with the bounce and with their dribble drive attack. So, you know, those are two teams that, you know, they could knock off one seed as 8 and 9. Then you get down to VCU. VCU is one of those teams where it's about style. You know, much like a Wisconsin, when you talk about if you put them on opposite ends of the spectrum, I think, you know, you're looking at a slow it down, grind it out, physical, fast-paced, physical, low-possession game with Wisconsin. And then you're looking at VCU on the other end of that spectrum where, you know, they're pushing the pace, it's up-tempo, they're playing the same level of intense defense, they're still just as physical, but they're trying to pressure you full court. So stylistically, they're going to pose a lot of problems for a lot of teams, which is why I think they're a tough matchup. Michigan, they have a ton of talent. Again, a ton of talent. Even though I'm not on them, and I don't think they're going to do a whole lot of damage in this tournament, they have a ton of talent. It's young talent, though, and that's what worries me about those guys is young talent. They've kind of been slumping. They've kind of been swooning lately. It's just not a good look for me, and they're going against a team that I think, you know, in South Dakota State, that could give them a run for their money and possibly knock them off. And then you have UCLA, which I call poor man's Michigan, as far as their basketball squad right now. Similar type of team, lots of young talent, not a lot of leadership, kind of swooning up and down, inconsistent. And then you have Minnesota, which is, as an 11 seed, is probably the scariest 11 seed in the tournament. I think they could have been a higher seed. I think they'll perform well at the 11th spot. I think they're going to put some pressure on UCLA. And I wouldn't be surprised if they beat them and, you know, go on and face Florida, who in the last couple of days has become a bit of a tournament darling. People are really loving Florida right now for whatever reasons. You know, if you go over the KenPom stats, the metrics, you know, Florida rates really high on a KenPom measure. So I think that's something that a lot of people are going by. KenPom is a measure that looks at efficiency. You know, I always got to bring some numbers into it. That measures offensive efficiency, strength of schedule, opponent's efficiency, your defensive efficiency, boils all that down, rates the teams. Florida's one of the top teams in that rating. And all of the last, interesting stat, all of the last 15 champions have been in the top 20 in the KenPom. So if you want to check that out, go to Google KenPom. It'll come up right away. Click on it. It'll give you the rankings, and you can kind of see who's in that top 20
because the last 15 champs have been in that top, have been in the top 20 in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency. And Florida's one of those squads. Then you go down, you look at San Diego State, Georgetown, both really solid teams. Oklahoma's a solid squad as well. I think that region, you know, it's a tough region. It's a region that's really difficult to pick because you could have a 5 and VCU make it. You could have an 11 that does some damage in Minnesota, knocking off a 3. You got a team like San Diego State going up against Georgetown. You got a guy like Otto Porter at Georgetown who's really kind of been playing high-level basketball the last month or so. So there's some real wild cards in that bracket, and I think that makes it really tough to pick. And I think it gives a lot of strength, though. My weakest is the West. I'm with you on that tone. The West just doesn't wow me. You know, I think you're going to see a lot of upsets. If I was going to pick a region where I was going to put a lot of upsets in my bracket, it would be the West. You know, I could see Kansas State getting knocked off by LaSalle. Pittsburgh, I could see them beating Gonzaga. And then if Pittsburgh faces off against the Wisconsin, that's a toss-up. You mean, you throw a coin in the air and see who wins. So you can have a team like Pittsburgh as an 8 seed making it to the Elite Eight. Belmont is a team I can see, you know, advancing to the Sweet 16 as an 11 out of the West. Harvard I can see knocking off New Mexico. Iowa State I can see beating Notre Dame and Ohio State. So that region is the reason that's my upset region. If I'm picking upsets, I go there if I'm the listeners out there. B. Wills, what's your strongest and weakest region?
Well, I'll just say I agree with y'all all on the West as the weakest, and I think y'all named, and I appreciate Tony, you know, anyone who's talking about Wisconsin coming up to region, that tells you where that region should fit. I'm a Midwest guy for the strongest, I think when you look about coaching, talent, teams that can win when they don't shoot well, they have them in those regions. They go after it. Obviously, Louisville, the number one overall, we can debate about that. But I think it's teams like Colorado State, who I believe they got the transfer from, I want to say, from Minnesota on that squad, if I'm looking at the center there, who can, you know, anytime you got a big that can cause you problems in the middle that you have to get to defend, I think that's always there. Missouri is one of those teams that has talent. Hasn't probably shown it, but I think, you know, they got talent that can make things happen. If they get on a run, they can cause some problems. When you think about Pressy and that crew. Oklahoma State is, I think, they could make some noise all the way through this. Oregon, a region should be ranked just looking at the 12 seed. Oregon's not a 12 seed. Oregon is the 12 seed in this region. And I think they have the ability to make some noise. I had a chance to watch them, and the eyeball test tells you they're not a 12 seed. When you look at what they've done, St. Louis has a tight squad that I like. New Mexico State can make some noise, but Memphis is talented. But then when you play against St. Mary's, I mean, if you've seen St. Mary's play, St. Mary's is a team to watch out. Michigan State has all kinds of depth and talent. Creighton. With McDermott can score. Cincinnati's had a little run towards the end of the season, but they got some players that can play. And then Duke. I mean, Duke, you know, I have a Duke issue, and everybody knows that. But, you know, they got a quality team, and they can do it. So I think there's a lot of depth there. And so I think that is, for me, the toughest region, followed closely by, I would say, the South is a region I would definitely play. I just have a Kansas bias, too, that will come out here in a minute.
Okay. So, you know, he's owning it. He's owning his Duke issue. He's calling it an issue. So as we look at it, as we start
the 4-1
to get
into it, stuff don't work. I'm just gonna leave it alone. But the 4-1 stuff don't work. And he's been doing it for years. I'll leave it alone. I digress.
As we get into this, I want to jump right in and start to talk about some of these bracket busters. Some of these teams out there that are really going to affect. Some of these 3 seeds or higher that when you're looking at upset, teams that are going to get upset, who's on your radar? Who do you have on upset alert, D. Wills?
Well, you know, let's start with the team that most people who listen know what I'm going to talk about, so why don't we just get it out the way, is Kansas. And I know your boy, McElroy, plays for them, and all this different thing, but I don't trust self. And the other thing about it is my whole issue around that, which I've talked about before, is the potential North Carolina-Kansas matchup. Carolina has not looked great this year. We can talk about that. But Roy Williams ain't losing to his old team. There's a motivation there. And if they don't go no farther, if they figure out how to win that game, that'll be a great one. Now, my picks may not come out that way, but I think there's an upset alert there that you have to look at. Obviously, I think Gonzaga is a upset waiting to happen. They can go either way. You know, can they handle being the front runners? There's not a doubt that they're talented. But, you know, it's different when the bullseye's on your back versus when you're just trying to get respect. And so can they play when they're expected to win? I think those are the other two things. Those are two teams clearly that I think could be vulnerable.
Okay. Tony, who are some of the teams that you think are going to be bracket busters, you know, the heartbreakers that are going to really ruin some people's brackets?
Well, D. Will said he has a Duke issue. I have a Big East issue. I don't trust him in any tournament. Every time I've ever picked a team from the Big East, it's gone horribly. So I'm going with your number one overall, Louisville. They're not making it past Sunday. I got Missouri knocking them off.
Ooh, that's major.
I think
y'all making me rethink this Louisville stuff, man.
Hey, man, I'm just saying, man, you got to put it in perspective. A week ago, where was Louisville? Where was Louisville a week ago?
I think Missouri has a better point guard in Pressey. I think Pressey's better than Peyton Thiebaud. He makes better decisions, maybe not down the stretch so much as we've seen him do this year. He's kind of sporadic in the final 2 minutes. But then here's the key to Louisville losing to Missouri. Alex Oriaki in the middle, going against Jang. Oriaki has a title with UConn. I know that's a Big East school, so I probably shouldn't be rooting for him. However, Oriaki brings that experience into the locker room. And for a team that finished second in the SEC this year, Missouri's knocking off Louisville in the round of 32 come Sunday. Book that one.
Okay. So my bracket buster. I'm gonna have to go with New Mexico. I've heard a lot. I haven't watched this team play a ton. I'm hearing a lot about them. I think they have a hard matchup in Harvard. And then I think they're going to have a tough matchup in Belmont if they beat Harvard or Arizona. I think they have a really tough pod to get out of. If they get out of it, I'll actually be surprised. If I'm taking New Mexico or the field in that particular foursome, I'm taking the field. So New Mexico is a team I think a lot of people have as a sleeper in that West region that I think is going to disappoint a lot of people. When I think of that New Mexico team, I think of Missouri last year, how Missouri came in as a two, kind of as a new upstart two. They're not usually in that spot. And so a lot of people kind of jumped on and said, oh, Missouri, and they were gone first night. You know, so I'd be careful of that hot team that hasn't really been there before. Steve Alford has done a great job of building up that program and getting that program turned around. I think, you know, they'll be back. I think this first year is just, hey, we're here. We had a great season. We're a three seed. I don't really see them making a lot of noise, though. So New Mexico out west is a team that I'm not really keen on making a whole lot of noise in this particular tournament. So that's where I'm at. Now, we have to give the people some money makers. Those teams, those five or lowers that are going to get that money for you. Tony, who's your money maker? Who's that one pick that you want to give to the fans out there to let them know that, hey, put this team, have this team advancing in your bracket, and how far would you have them going?
I don't want to keep harping on the Mizzou train, so I'll leave that one alone. But if you're filling out a bracket, that's not a bad pick. But I'm going to go back to the West. And I heard you said earlier you have New Mexico State almost losing to Belmont. I'm taking Arizona in the Western region to make some noise. They got a point guard in Mark Lyons. He can score the ball. He's averages 15 points a game on the season. And just looking at him just as a scorer and as a point guard, I think he can play with anyone in the nation. And they also are coming in with a chip on their shoulder. I don't know if you guys saw the clip. They lost in the semifinals of the Pac-12 tournament on a blown call by the referee. And their coach went into the post-game press conference livid and just went on a rant about why they should have been able to continue playing that game and that they pretty much got cheated out of it. So I think they come in with a chip on their shoulder. They got Belmont in the first round, and then you're going to either see New Mexico or Harvard. I think Arizona is the sixth seed that knocks off the three, and New Mexico makes it to the Sweet 16. A lot of people in your pool probably going to go with the higher seed, New Mexico, on that one. If you will to make some noise, make some money, go with Arizona.
Okay. So he's going with Arizona. Yeah, I'm kind of light on Arizona myself. I think that Belmont matchup is a bad matchup for them, and that's why I'm kind of a little bit more on Belmont in that particular game. Arizona has some bigs who I think are going to be fish out of water against Belmont style. Belmont shoots a lot of threes, very perimeter-oriented team. If they get hot, Arizona's going to be in trouble. But Arizona does have a ton of talent, and I could definitely see them making some noise overall in that particular region. D. Wills, who's your moneymaker?
My moneymaker, I'm going to go with I had a couple I talked about last night, but I'm going to ride Minnesota. Again, one thing I think, if we look historically, there are teams that came in hot, continue to be hot. There are teams that struggled down the stretch or didn't do it, and then they got hot in the tournament. And I think there's some teams that are just, they focus. It's like some teams are ADD, and they need the tournament to focus. They need that medication. That's my Michigan argument. I just got to go. And I think Minnesota's well. And plus, you got a coach like Tubby who knows it. And the way their matchup set up will force them to focus. So they started with a UCLA team. I think will be a great matchup for them and force them to really focus and play. They win that one. They might have Florida next. Now they're getting hyped because everybody's like, you can't mess with them. But they got talent. They start off 15-1. They got talent. And then they might meet your team, Georgetown Hoyas. But Michael Graham ain't in the building. Michael Graham ain't in the building. Duncan on them looking like Moses Curry. So it could create sometimes those teams that kind of have that focus issue, but playing talent like that, forcing the focus because they don't want to get embarrassed. Now their talent comes out. I think Tubby might be able to motivate them.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see Minnesota making some noise. They have a tough road with having to get through one UCLA, very talent-laden team, Florida, a talent-laden team that's well-coached. I didn't say that about UCLA on purpose.
he kills me. He's another one of them, bro.
And then if they beat my Hoyas, then they earned it. You know what I'm saying? They earned it if they beat the Hoyas, man. So yeah, they got a road to go. Where I think Arizona has a much more manageable pass. Minnesota has got if Minnesota gets hot, they can really take it a long ways because they can have
Arizona's historically Arizona's like that West Coast version of Kansas. How many times?
Come on,
everybody's a how ask Cass how much Arizona's cost people money over the years.
Yeah.
I don't think Arizona's gotten over that,
too. You know, Arizona's on bracket probation for me. So is Missouri. That's why I can't really ride with Missouri, man. After last year, I put them on bracket probation. I can't really mess with them. I have this bracket probation policy, man. If you do me wrong one year, I may have to take a year or two off from picking you to go anywhere. So both of those teams are on bracket probation for me. My sleeper, my moneymaker, it's Pitt. Again, the West region, I think, is loaded with pitfalls for the higher seeds. Pitt is an eight. I think they're going to have a tough game. I think their toughest game the first weekend is going to be against Wichita because I think if they get against Gonzaga, they're going to bully Gonzaga Pitt. And I think they can knock off Gonzaga. They're going to get into a game with Wisconsin, and it's going to be a mirror game. They're going to be looking at each other like, you look like us, and we look like you. I think that's going to be a game where you see two teams with similar styles and two teams that have met in the tournament before in both of their coaches' tenure. It won't be the first time that Jamie Dixon and Bo Ryan have faced off in the tournament. They know each other pretty well. They both play a similar grinded-out style. I think Pittsburgh may have a little bit more talent and may pull out that victory. I can see Pittsburgh getting all the way to the Elite Eight before, they run into a team that knocks them off if they get going. So Pittsburgh is a team that I look out for because that top part of that West bracket is pretty – is ripe for the taking, just as that bottom part is. The West, if you're looking for a sleeper, I'd say go with the West. I wouldn't get too adventurous in the other regions, but if I was going to look for a region where the higher seeds were not as strong, I would definitely choose the West. So let's really start to dig into our own brackets right now. I'm gonna pass it to D. Wills, and I want you to walk us through your road to the Elite Eight, really highlight give us some of your big upsets. Just take us through the games in each region. Why don't you start in the Midwest and walk us through, go west, east, and then back up to the south. So take us around the horn real quick through your bracket. Give us a little tour.
And I was going to come back to you. Did you want us to pay some bills, or did we going to chill?
Let's keep it rolling because we got about 20 minutes or so left.
Okay.
LR,
we try to pay the bills, baby. We're thinking about you, Resistant Digital. So we will take care of you at some point. No, I'm going to get into myself because I think everybody wants to know why the champ is doing what the champ is doing. So we'll come back to it. So where'd you want me to start?
Starting in the Midwest.
Starting in the Midwest.
Break it down.
Let me break it all down. So in the top, I got Louisville getting past North Carolina A&T. I got Colorado State beating Missouri. Oregon beating Oklahoma State. St. Louis beating New Mexico State. And then I have Memphis over St. Oh, no, actually St. Mary's over Memphis. And then Michigan State winning. Then I have Creighton and Duke. And then I have Duke over Creighton. That's going to be a close one. And then I have Michigan State over St. Mary's, St. Louis over Oregon, Louisville over Colorado State. So you got the matchup between Louisville and St. Louis there. Let me keep going.
Okay. We're just going to Elite Eight.
Okay.
So,
got me into
so yeah, keep going. Keep rolling. Keep rolling. So,
got
Louisville and St. Louis.
I got Louisville, St. Louis. And then I got Louisville over St. Louis and then Michigan State over Duke. And so we got Louisville against Michigan State in Elite Eight.
Okay. Okay. So, you got Louisville, Michigan State coming out of that region. Okay, what you got in the West?
In the West, I got Gonzaga winning first round, Wichita State over Pittsburgh, Wisconsin over Ole Miss, Kansas State over LaSalle, Arizona over Belmont. I got New Mexico over Harvard, Iowa State over Notre Dame, Ohio State winning. And then I got Ohio State over Iowa State. I have New Mexico over Arizona. I have Wisconsin over Kansas State. And then Gonzaga over Wichita State. And then this is my thing about Wisconsin. They'll get to the second weekend, but now that you got a week to prepare. This one, it can't surprise you. And so the second weekend, they come back to reality, and Gonzaga beats them. And then Ohio State wins a close one against New Mexico, and then it's Gonzaga against Ohio State.
Okay. Okay. All right. Now, walk us through. So you got Gonzaga against Ohio State in the Elite Eight. You got Louisville and Michigan so far. Take us through to your East region.
Okay. We go to East here. Indiana winning. NC State over Temple. UNLV over California. Syracuse over Montana. I got Bucknell over Butler. Marquette over Davidson, Colorado over Illinois, Miami over Pacific, and then Miami beating Colorado, and Marquette over Bucknell, Syracuse. Actually, UNLV over Syracuse, and then Indiana over NC State. And then I got Indiana beating UNLV, and I got Miami over Marquette. So then it's Indiana against Marquette. Indiana against Miami, excuse me, sorry.
Okay, Indiana, Miami. All right, so you got Indiana, Miami. You got Pittsburgh, Ohio State, Louisville, Michigan State, South. Let's round it out. Let's give us those last two teams in that Elite Eight.
And here we go. I got Kansas over Western Kentucky. I got North Carolina over Villanova, VCU over Akron, Michigan over South Dakota State, Minnesota over UCLA, Florida over Northwestern State there. I got San Diego State over Oklahoma, Georgetown winning their first round. Then I got Georgetown over San Diego State. That's going to be a good game against Steve Fisher. And then I got Minnesota over Florida. And then I got Michigan over VCU, your team. And I got Carolina upsetting Kansas. I got Carolina against Michigan, one of them old-time tournament matchups, no timeout. And then Michigan beating Carolina. And then Georgetown, your Hoyas beating Minnesota. And it's Michigan against Georgetown in Elite Eight.
Okay. All right. So you got some upsets in that one. That's kind of your upset reason right there, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So you got Georgetown, Michigan, Louisville, Michigan State, Gonzaga and Ohio State, and Indiana and Miami?
Yep.
Okay. So, all right. So you got how many? You got a Big Ten team in each region, huh? So you rolling heavy as far as Big Ten goes. I want to bring in Tony real quick. What do you think about that Elite Eight, Tony?
I mean, you can't really go wrong with the Big Ten this year. But
okay.
The only game I'm struggling with you picking is still Minnesota beating UCLA in the first round. But
if they win that game, they're gonna go on a run. But that game is what I'm most nervous about.
Okay, all right, that makes sense.
I agree.
Yeah, I like the Indiana-Miami matchup. I have that one picked as well. I think that's going to be a great game. That could be a, if they weren't in the same region, that could be a potential national championship game and the talent those two teams have.
Yeah.
Agreed. So, Tone, take us through yours. Take us through your Elite Eight in each region, starting with the Midwest, and bring us around the horn back up to the South.
Got you. First game, I got Louisville over NC, A&T, and then I got Missouri knocking off Colorado State. I got Oklahoma and St. Louis advancing. I picked St. Mary's over Memphis and Michigan State over Valpo. And then I got Creighton because Doug McDermott, All-American, is the man, by the way. If you get a chance, watch that man play. And then I got Duke over Albany. I got Duke then knocking off McDermott and Creighton. I got Michigan State over St. Mary's. I took St. Louis over Oklahoma State. And then, as I said before, I got Missouri knocking off Louisville on Sunday. And then out of that, I got St. Louis knocking off Missouri. Then I got Duke beating Michigan State. So the Elite Eight matchup in the Midwest is going to be St. Louis and Duke. In the West, I got Gonzaga over Southern, Pitt over Wichita State. I picked Wisconsin to beat Ole Miss, even though that's the game that I have highlighted and starred all around because I'm excited to watch Marshall Henderson play. And then I got Kansas State advancing. We got Arizona over Belmont, New Mexico over Harvard, Iowa State in the 10-7 upset over Notre Dame, and then I got Ohio State advancing. I picked Ohio State to beat Iowa State. I got Arizona beating New Mexico. I picked Kansas State over Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin is going to be tired from chasing around Henderson and Ole Miss all day. And Bruce Weber, coaching that Kansas State team, him and Bo Ryan, they got a history together. So I'm going to go with Kansas State over Wisconsin. But then I got Gonzaga advancing over Gonzaga beating Pitt. And then in Sweet 16, I got Gonzaga beating Kansas State and then Arizona beating Ohio State advancing to the Elite Eight. In the East, I got Indiana over James Madison, Temple over NC State, Cal over UNLV, Syracuse over Montana, Butler is going to beat Bucknell, Marquette advances over Davidson, and then I got Illinois and Miami. In the Illinois-Miami game, I got Miami beating Illinois. I have Marquette beating Butler. Syracuse is going to get past Cal. And then I have Indiana beating Temple. In the Indiana-Syracuse game, I have Indiana advancing, Big Ten team. And then I have Miami, just like you, Will, had, or I have Indiana and Miami playing each other in the Elite Eight in the East. And then rounding it off with the South, I got Kansas over Western Kentucky. I picked Villanova in the first round over that North Carolina team. And then I have VCU and Michigan, both advancing to the round of 32. Then I picked UCLA over Minnesota. Shabazz Muhammad, he's ready to go. I'm excited to see that kid play in the tournament. And then we have Florida beating Northwestern State. And then I have San Diego State and Georgetown advancing in the round of 32. With San Diego State, sorry to do it to you, Marcus, but they're knocking off the Georgetown Hoyas to advance to the Sweet 16. And then I have Florida beating UCLA. I have Kansas beating Villanova and Michigan beating VCU. And the Kansas-Michigan game, I picked Michigan to make it to the Elite Eight. And then I have Florida beating San Diego State, where they'll play Michigan.
Okay.
For those of you listening, that's the correct bracket if you're going to put money on things. Just follow my lead.
I hold off on that because I'm about to give you guys the money-making bracket right now. I'm about to give you guys a money-making bracket right now. All right?
I'm waiting for it.
So I'm going to run through real quick. We're starting to get short on time, so I want to get this in so that we can talk about our Final Fours and go to that next level. I got Louisville, Missouri, and the Midwest. Louisville and Missouri advancing. I got Oregon knocking off Oklahoma State. I got St. Louis advancing. St. Mary's beating Memphis. Michigan State advancing. Creighton and Duke. Going to the next round, I have Oregon making the Sweet 16, defeating St. Louis. I have Louisville beating Missouri and breaking through and getting to that second Sweet 16. Michigan State topping St. Mary's, and then Duke beating Creighton. From there, I have Louisville knocking off Oregon and Michigan State knocking off Duke. So in the Midwest, I have Louisville and Michigan State rolling through to that last round of that region. In the West, I got Gonzaga and Pitt facing off in the second round. Wisconsin and LaSalle knocking off Kansas State. Again, this region, I see a lot of upsets, so I'm calling them. In this region, I got LaSalle knocking off Kansas State facing Wisconsin. I have Belmont knocking off Arizona. New Mexico skating by Harvard just a little bit. I have Iowa State knocking off Notre Dame, and I have Ohio State knocking off Iona. Ohio State then beats Iowa State. Belmont knocks off New Mexico. Wisconsin takes down LaSalle, and Pittsburgh knocks off Gonzaga. Pittsburgh then knocks off Wisconsin and advances to the Elite Eight, and Ohio State knocks off Belmont and advances to the Elite Eight. So far I got Louisville, Michigan State, Pittsburgh, Ohio State. Swinging over to the East, I have Indiana advancing to face North Carolina State. California knocking off UNLV, facing off against Syracuse. Butler facing off against Marquette. And then Colorado knocking off Illinois and facing Miami. Miami wins that matchup to go on to face Butler, who knocks off in a close one Marquette. Syracuse knocks off California. Indiana knocks off North Carolina State. Indiana beats Syracuse. Miami beats Butler. We got Indiana-Miami in the Elite Eight. Then going up to the South, I got Kansas winning their first round, facing off against North Carolina, who defeat Villanova. We got VCU facing off against South Dakota State. A four seed always goes down to a 13. I think Michigan's right for the pick, and Nate Walsh is going to light them up. So I got San Diego State knocking off Michigan to face VCU in the second round. Minnesota knocking off UCLA. I just think, you know, We've seen this story before with the hotshot freshman. We saw it a couple years back when O.J. Mayo went up against Wisconsin, and then Wisconsin went and played Mike Beasley. Those guys are great, great talents. It just in a tournament, it's hard to win. It's hard to win as a rook, especially when you haven't shown that dominance all season. Those guys' season remind me of what we've seen from UCLA and Shabazz Muhammad. So that's why I'm going with Minnesota. I think Minnesota's going to knock them off. We got Florida, San Diego State, Georgetown. Georgetown knocks off San Diego State, moves on. Florida knocks off Minnesota, moves on. VCU takes down South Dakota State. And then we have Kansas defeating North Carolina. Kansas advances over VCU. Kansas gets some revenge on the Rams for the Rams' Final Four run when they got them. And then we got Georgetown facing off against Kansas. And Georgetown, yeah, so we got Georgetown facing off against Kansas, and it's to round out my Elite Eight. So I got Kansas, Georgetown, Indiana, Miami, Ohio State, Pittsburgh, Michigan State, Louisville. So we got about 5 minutes left. So now we got to cut it down to our Final Fours. Again, you're listening to the Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, RSG Renegade Radio, and we're about to do something we've never done before. We're unveiling our brackets. All right, this is exclusive information right here. Luckily for us, you won't get it until tomorrow morning, especially if you're downloading off the website, because the podcast isn't available until Thursday morning. So we got a little bit of a built-in safeguard, right? But no biting's allowed. So right now, Tony, can you give us your Final Four? Recap your Elite Eight. Take us through your Final Four, your championship game, and your eventual champion. You got about 2.5 minutes.
Gotcha. Coming out of the Midwest, my Elite Eight game, St. Louis and Duke, I have Duke advancing to the Final Four. Out of the West, I have Gonzaga playing Arizona in the Elite Eight, and I'm picking Arizona to be that sixth seed, making it to the Final Four. Out of the East, I got Indiana and Miami playing the Elite Eight. I got to go with the Big Ten on that one. Just saw a lot of Indiana basketball this weekend. They lost to Wisconsin, but they look pretty good, from an analyst standpoint. So I'm gonna go with Indiana on that one. And then coming out of the South, I have Florida playing Michigan. Hate to go against the Big Ten, but I've seen Florida a lot this year. I'm taking Florida to make it to the Final Four. So just to recap, my Final Four: I have Duke playing Arizona and Florida playing Indiana.
All right. Who do you have going to the championship game?
Duke is playing Florida for the national title.
Okay.
You want my final pick right off the bat?
Yeah, right off the bat.
Florida Gators, bringing it home.
Oh, so we got one national championship, Florida. We got Florida with a title. D. Will,
yep.
Lay it on us. Take us through your Elite Eight, then bring it down to your Final Four, your championship game, and your champion.
All right, we got in the Midwest, Louisville against Michigan State. I got Louisville upsetting over the Spartans, not upset. They get to the Final Four. I have in the South, it's Michigan against Georgetown. Trey Burke taking the Wolverines to the Final Four. He's going to be in the building. And then we got Miami against Indiana, which I agree is probably going to be the best game of the tournament. But somehow the Hoosiers get there. They're in the Final Four facing up against Michigan. And then we got Gonzaga against Ohio State, the Buckeyes on the perimeter getting out there, and they make it to the Final Four. We got Louisville against Ohio State. Louisville beats Ohio State in the finals. Indiana beats Michigan again, and they're in the finals. And it'll be Indiana against Louisville, and the Hoosiers cut it down. Tom Crean in the team with the Harbaugh. The Harbaugh family has a championship and a national championship in basketball.
So you got Indiana. Indiana's your eventual champion. All right, I'm going to walk you guys through mine. I got Louisville knocking off Michigan State. Just off the strength of one seed, got to make it. I'm playing probability in mine. I don't believe you in Louisville, but the way I have this playing out, a one seed's got to make it. Then I got Ohio State knocking off Pitt. To get there. So I have Louisville and Ohio State facing off in the Final Four. On the other side, I also have Indiana coming in as my representative knocking off Miami. And, again, I believe that will be a great game, one of the best matchups of the tournament. And then I have Georgetown knocking off Kansas. So I have Indiana and Georgetown on one side, Louisville, Ohio State on the other. I have Georgetown squeaking by Indiana. And then I have Louisville squeaking by Ohio State for a Big East rematch of Louisville and Georgetown in the championship. And another tidbit of information that I've gleaned through research, the last five champions other than Syracuse have all worn blue, which means Georgetown will win. So I got my Hoyas winning the championship this year, bringing it back, bringing it home back to D.C. So I got Georgetown over Louisville in the title game. So we got Georgetown game changer pick. We got D. Wills with the Indiana pick, and we got Tony with the who'd you have?
Florida, who also wears blue.
Oh, who also wears blue? So you have Florida. All right, so you got Florida. So hey, you know, two of us have got teams picked in blue. One of us doesn't. You guys know your colors. You can do the math.
And I think there's only one person with the title, baby. Make sure you go to Real Sports Guys Radio on Facebook. Sign up for the tournament tomorrow. Come in. We got great prizes, but the trash talking has already started.
Yes, it has. So we're going to leave you with that. You've got an exclusive look at our brackets. We've broken them down for you. So take that information. Do with it what you will. Again, no biting allowed. I don't want to see anybody out there with my Final Four. I know I got a very unique Final Four. I don't want to see anybody with that. I know Tony doesn't want to see anybody with his Final Four, and D. Wills definitely will cut you if he catches you having his Final Four. So
that's right.
Let's not be line steppers and step over those lines. Again, you're listening to the Real Sports Guys NCAA Tourney Special featuring Tony Cartagena. My man D. Wills is here. We're signing off. Make sure you download this from realsportsguys.com. Get all your info before the game starts tomorrow morning and get your brackets right. Take care. Be blessed. We'll catch you next Tuesday with our regular RSG show. We're going to pick up tourney recap. We're going to have Eric Hamilton joining us talking some fantasy football. So make sure you're on the lookout for that as we tap into NFL free agency and get into some of the fantasy implications of that. So this is Game Changer signing off. Catch you guys next week. Peace.